Okay, so we are inching closer and closer to episode 100 of this show, which is pretty insane because that would mean that I've essentially been doing this podcast for 2 whole years without once missing a week. That's crazy. That in itself is something to celebrate. And if you've hit that milestone yourself already, then let me know so we can celebrate together. And if you haven't yet, then let me tell you, the best is yet to come. It is a huge achievement. Because this milestone, if nothing else, is a proof point to the commitment you made to yourself and to your audience. Wow, 100 episodes, we're almost there. Okay, and in the spirit of milestones, I thought I would use this episode as one. What I wanted to actually use this episode for, if that's okay with you, is to look back at the last, 96 odd episodes and give you an insider's view into what some of the things are that I and my team actually implemented and what are some of the things that we did not. Because I know that we spoke through a lot of strategies and tactics on and frameworks on growing a podcast and clients throughout the last 2 years of this podcast, which can be overwhelming. And in the spirit of shelving the shoulds, I wanted to talk you through some of the shoulds that we shelved, some of the advice that even I gave in this podcast that I did not follow, and why. My name is Deidre Shen, CEO and co-founder of Capshow, and this is the Grow My Podcast Show. Hey, we are going to have some fun in this episode because I want to actually talk about some of those shoulds that even I spoke about in this podcast that we shelved. I've always felt like I had to be someone who had to master all the things and then to also be seen as a master of all the things, which, gosh, thinking about it, about that now makes me totally seem like an egomaniac, doesn't it? But I've really been changing my tune on that because I know that I can't. I cannot be the master of all things. And I've been learning the hard way over the last year that not only have I been doing myself a disservice in trying to operate and think in that way, but I've also really been doing my team a disservice and also, to be honest, you listening to this a disservice. And so I wanted to try to correct the course on that a little bit and be open and honest with you on some of the things I probably said I'd do and I just didn't. Because I've been realizing that me saying I was going to do something was coming from this place of, I should be doing that thing rather than, hey, do I actually need to do that thing because it's going to fundamentally move the dial for me and for Capshow? It was completely driven by my ego and my need to prove something, which is ridiculous. And so I wanted to be open about it in case you may have been feeling something similar because it's okay. You're not alone in this. We all go through this. And I promise I'm probably going to go through it again myself until I get a little bit of a realization moment. So what I've done, I've invited my co-founder, Bonna Rai, who has been on this journey with me to have this conversation, a conversation about the advice in this podcast that we did not follow, the shoulds that we shelved and are continuing to shelve and why. Hey, Bonna.
Hey.
Welcome.
Egomania. That was so funny.
What do you think? Do you think I'm an egomaniac?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I just didn't have the words until now, and I think that is perfect. Egomaniac. Yeah. Yep.
Now you know exactly what to call me. Awesome. This is going to be great. Okay, let's get into, so there's a few themes that we're going to talk about, things that we've spoken about ourselves on this podcast, we've gotten guests on to talk about, and we're going to basically go through why we did not follow that advice.
I hate this episode already. It's giving me much anxiety, but I think it's going to be really therapeutic too.
Yes, for sure. And I want to start with the big elephant in the room.
Oh, other than your ego.
Other than my ego, yeah.
Yep, the one that's pushing your ego out of the way. What's the elephant? I'm intrigued.
Well, the elephant is video.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I had something more clever than that now that I'm
the elephant. We'll think of something. Yeah.
But video yes. is a big elephant in the room because holy moly, if you think about 2023 and the big should that came about with the whole video podcasting thing and even social media platforms really trying to push short form videos.
Yes. And YouTube kind of becoming cool again.
Oh my gosh. It was a big should.
Yes.
Right? Like this whole video space. And we tried.
We did.
I'll give ourselves a bit of kudos for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely A+ for not even effort, but trying. Is there such a thing?
Yeah.
And lots of we're decorated with the most false starts. How about that?
That's a good way to put it.
Lots of double faults. I don't know which sport we're talking, but lots of starts.
Yes. Okay. That just did not.
Very little follow through.
Yeah.
And definitely no conclusions.
Yeah.
No achievements, but.
Okay.
Yeah, I would feel like I think false start is a good way of thinking about our efforts with video.
Yeah, because if we look back at the things that we spoke about in this podcast, so I'm going to rattle some off. I mean, we talked about short form and long form video in episode like 14, 35, 70, 77, 90. Like that's a good at least 5 episodes that we spoke about video.
Yes, yeah.
From our perspective, as in the things that we were doing and trying, which I think to your point were the false starts.
Yep.
And then also from having guest experts on talking about it.
Yeah.
And to your point, like we tried time and time again, but then each time we just made the decision to, okay, it's like that's not quite working or for whatever reason. And we'll go into that, or that's not quite landing for whatever reason, to the point where now we've just pretty much completely, as of now, like this is not a forever decision and none of these things are, but right now we've pretty much completely pulled back from it.
Yep. Yep.
So let's go into why, maybe like what precipitated those false starts, then what led to us going, oh, not quite working.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about this, and I think there's, like with most things that we don't see through, at least as it relates to work, but I'm sure this relates to personal as well. I think there's like 3 main buckets. There's definitely the mindset, and I don't necessarily mean the mindset of like, oh, I can do it, that kind of, you know, rah-rah mindset, but really having the right mindset to be able to do this thing meaningfully. The second thing that comes to mind is workflow. Again, once you have an established workflow, it's really hard to incorporate new things into it, especially when it's already quite full. And of course, tools or systems and resources. I would say that's why with Creative Studio, when we launched it this year, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make it easier for people like ourselves to create video, right? We have the short form script generator. We have, you know, sound bites. We have segments. It's like, this should be so easy. And what we realized was that was only just part of it, because a tool is great if you don't have the workflow for it and the mindset and will, then it actually kind of becomes, it feels even worse because you're like, you already had the tool for it. What are you doing? Yeah. Why aren't you utilizing that?
Yeah. And that should becomes like such a big, hairy beast of a giant
quite demonic
spider.
Yeah, keep going. Tarantula vibes, the big hairy leg.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you wake up screaming from your sleep. Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly how I feel about video. I think we nailed it. All right, let's unpack that a little bit. So let's talk about mindset, because I know that you mentioned it's not the mindset of like, who can do it?
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, to this, like right now, we can do anything. I think we all know this.
Yeah.
What mindset do you think is the particularly important one to hone in on to actually make something like, and I know we're talking about video, but really this is probably any type of, especially content creation, but as it pertains to video.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, and I would love your thoughts on this as well, but I suspect it's very similar. It's when there is a, like with any kind of content creation, to your point, you want to show up with a level of intensity, and that is going to be relevant to the platform. So obviously when we're recording audio in your podcasts, you know, making sure that we're in the frame of mind to be able to really give it everything. And I think with video does ask more of you in that sense. So it could be everything from how am I showing up energy-wise, like, because we know like video takes away energy. So you have to really come at it quite strongly. And then do I have the setup? Like, does my background look okay? Do I look okay? And your brand may not be about really being really polished and looking perfect, but you know, regardless, it's kind of like there's a level of like, well, I should probably, you know, put some nicer clothes on, or I should probably brush my hair.
So I don't do this in my pajamas. I mean, just to be open, I am currently recording this, because it's not a video podcast, in my pajamas.
Exactly. So I think unless you then make it, you know, it could be like, you know, I don't know, but
Pillow talk
with Deidre.
Yeah.
But it's like
that's a shiny kind of talk.
All right, we digress. We couldn't brand it around it, is what I'm saying. But you probably do need to not look tired, for example. So I think it's all of those things. Then, you know, they're just little things. And you know that, you know, like your audience isn't tuning in for you to look perfect, or they want a level of authenticity. But I think there's, with video, that feels like you owe them a level of production value as well. You know, so I think that's a big part of it too.
And I mean, I think it is also like, to your point, like it feels like we owe them, but I think this is another big should, right? That again, we get told we should have really high production video because that's what the Mr. Beasts and the whoever else in the YouTube world do, and that's what they invest in.
Mm.
And so it's such a big mental hurdle to get across, to be like, oh, can I do video when I don't have like all of amazing camera and amazing background and an amazing production team behind it?
Yeah. And especially I think also with a lot of people who do podcasts, they have guests, and you know, if you can't do it in person, like again, like there's like, they might be using Zoom or something. To your point, like your camera might be great. It might be more about that. You know, we record kind of every few weeks. It's like, how would we make that work? You know, so I think it's just a level of logistics that is not, to be fair, the highest to overcome, but it's just high enough that you're like, I don't know if I have enough in me to get over this friction. And maybe I don't need to be doing video.
Yeah. And it's a big, I mean, look, some people, you might be listening to this and go, what do you mean? I love video. Video is just like, I could just turn the camera first, on. And and that's awesome. But I know for me, I tend to lean on these things because I guess the more barriers, whether they're real or not real, you start to put in place, the more you allow yourself to procrastinate.
Totally. They become more and more valid. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's definitely where I found myself to be like, oh, it's like, okay, well, this is another reason why I can't do video. Or, you know, it's just, you just keep finding those. And that in itself probably tells you something. It tells you something about
totally
what you actually want to be, how you want to be creating content, really.
Yeah. And I would say for me as well, listening to that, there's almost like you kind of go, there's the mindset across the entire process too. And I've had this conversation with you from an operationalization perspective. Mm.
Nailed it on the second go. Yeah. We're not about false starts at all.
Call me secondhand Sally, yeah. Is, you know, I think we had this conversation to go, okay, even if we're able to create this video, my mindset around, well, how do I create space and time to review the content? Now I have to like review, I'm really good at reviewing written content. And we have someone who reviews our audio recordings, but now we have to review video, and now we have to figure out how to make the video not just, you know, like work and then short form video. And it's like, oh wow, now I'm feeling overwhelmed again without having a workflow in place to do everything past, you know, hitting the stop on the recording.
Yes, that's a good, I mean, it's good, it's a great segue into the second blocker, which is workflow.
Yeah.
How do we, I mean, because at some point I believe in us. I believe that we can get through these blockers eventually for ourselves.
And not have a false start. Yeah.
Yeah. How should we be thinking about even, how do we keep our workflow flexible enough that we can add these things in as and when we actually truly want to master it? You know, not just because we should, but because it's like, yes, we're ready. You know, our audience is asking for it. And, you know, we think that it's a really valuable way for us to be creating content.
Mm.
How do we think about our workflow in that instance?
Yeah, this is a tricky one, but I do think that what you just said is actually the first step, which most of us don't realize. Part of the reason why I think we failed so miserably in these past attempts is because we kept trying to add this onto a very full workflow. I do have full belief, and now I've put it on the record, so this is awkward, but you know, that this year we will be able to, because now the secret, if there is one, to keeping your workflow, I guess, like flexible enough, is to actually have room in it. So right now, how do you create room in your workflow is actually doing what you spoke earlier about being an egomaniac, but actually mastering some things. So when you're trying to master seven things, there's just no room because you're already at 700%. But if you focus on one or two things, which we have been doing in the later half of this year, and look to that, you're still at 100%, but then you start to create capacity because your muscles have to work less hard. Mm-hmm. And now you're looking for the next challenge, which is where video can come in. Now, the old us would probably put in video and put in all of these other things. Let's launch a magazine. Let's, you know what? Let's actually do a fashion like business as well on top of it, or, you know, like all merch or whatever. But now we're just going, no, video is the next thing because there is a reason everyone's talking about it. We do need to get on top of this. But literally, it will be just that for a period of time, because that's what, and I think that's almost the first step to go, actually creating room in your workflow. Mm. And if there's things on there that you're not getting results from, feel free to remove them, but we don't remove them. I think that's the difference. And that's how you build, I think, the flexibility, because you start to build the mental ability now, or mental aptitude, to look at the things, to see what's working for you and what's not. What has to stay because you haven't finished mastering it, but it's worth it. and what can actually be removed because it's actually no longer serving you and you need to put a new thing in place. Mm. So I think that's really, and but you have to think of your workflow as a finite thing. Sure, it can build a level of infinity to it because you'll have tools, you'll have AI, you'll have all of that, but you're still going to need the resources, whether that's yourself or your team, a level of bandwidth to make sure it's happening. Right.
And happening well.
Happening well, exactly. And continue to level up too. That's the thing. If especially if you want to continue being excellent at what you're doing, then you know, you're going to need a level of bandwidth, to your point, to monitor it so you can understand where it is either plateauing, maybe going downhill, and you know, or not at the growing at the rate that you would like. Because then otherwise it kind of is redundant. The whole conversation becomes redundant.
Yes. Increasingly, we're going to be talking about this more and more this year in 2024, I'm sure, around how is it that we're, like, as a business, we're creating focus and space in our, like, minds, but also tool, like, I don't mean tools as in, like, the actual tools, but tool, in our minds and in our, let me just say, and in our workflows, in our operations,
yes.
Let's say.
Yes.
We're going to be, I think this is really, really important for us because I think 2023 was one where we, to your point, we just tried all of the things at the same time. We burnt ourselves out. You know, I just, however many episodes ago, was talking about being in this, like, I just felt creatively tapped out. Like, I think it was the culmination of the whole year trying to do all these things that meant that I felt that way. And so I think we just showed up to 2024 really, really differently, which is like, okay, let's not do that to ourselves anymore.
Yeah.
Let's be really, really focused and really intentional. And I think we're actually going to, it feels slower, but I think, and that's okay for it to feel slower because that slowness is actually going to get quicker results. Yes. I actually firmly believe that now.
Totally.
And it's really uncomfortable place to be when you're like, oh, I don't feel like we're really doing much, or because we're so used to working at breakneck speed that now it's like, hold on, it feels like we're, you know, working at 25% or whatever the you know, the rate of that, but we're actually getting more done at a higher quality level. And so, you know, these are things I'm going to be talking about even at Capshavians Live and stuff around, like, the importance of focus and what that can do to a business and to content, etc. Anyway, I'm not going to belabor the point because we're going to be talking more about it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to then, so video. Video is something that we just tried and tried and tried and just could not get off the ground.
Yeah.
So if you've been able to get video off the ground in a meaningful way, then kudos, because
it's a toughie.
It's a toughie.
Yeah.
So definitely let us know. Let us know how you've incorporated into your workflow, how you think about it. Maybe video is just totally natural to you and it's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Or it hasn't been, and you know, you've had to go through your own process to actually bring it to life. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, so video was the first elephant.
The biggest elephant, would we say?
I would say that this is a pretty close big elephant.
Ooh,
it's
okay.
Like a slightly smaller, but like only by a couple of inches.
Okay. And it's pink.
Okay, sure.
Yes.
It's a big elephant.
I have to differentiate it. Yeah. The pink flamboyant elephant in the room is
climbing the charts.
Ooh.
Okay. Now this is the reason why I say this is a pretty big, it is a pretty flamboyant elephant, is because the whole premise behind, I mean, this podcast is called Grow My Podcast Show.
It is, yeah.
And you would think intuitively that if you're going to, like, the whole purpose, like, or one of, I guess, the indicators of growth of your podcast is climbing the charts.
And for some people, the primary indicator, you would say.
And that has not been the case of us. So I apologize.
For the misleading, Mary.
We totally misrepresented this podcast.
Too many realizations are hitting.
I know. Because we promised that you would grow your podcast, which, okay, look, I'm going to be fair. I think we did deliver on that, just maybe not in the conventional way, which we will get into, but not in the way of climbing the charts necessarily. Now, we did have episodes on that were about that. So again, if I look at episode 93, 55, 76, 73, it was all about things like how to get into the top, you know, 10 of Apple, and, you know, how to leverage PR to get your podcast known and things like that. So we did have really great guests on that. You know, I don't want to take anything away from that, but this was just that goal of climbing the charts was just not really something that
was a goal for our podcast.
Mm. Mm.
And so that's why I kind of go, like, we kind of misrepresented Grow My Podcast Show, because that's not what we meant by growth. What we meant by growth, because our goal is all about how do we create a podcast that actually gets conversions, whatever that means. And for us, it was how do we grow our email list and how do we, of course, get more people trying Capsho.
Yep.
So that for me was what growth looked like for a podcast and definitely for Grow My Podcast Show.
Yeah.
It was not about climbing the charts.
Yeah. It almost like the, and some of the strategies, like you said, the brilliant speakers came on to across those four episodes, and I think even more, is that was almost like, to your point, one of the ways we could have grown the show in order to get more conversions. But for some of our listeners potentially, or, you know, some people who do podcast, that's the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the differentiator, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So climbing the charts, not our end goal, because we're not trying to get sponsorship. Like, we're not trying to monetize our podcast in that way.
Mm.
What is our end goal? And I think more and more the people that we do talk, that we are talking to you listening to this, is really about how to use a podcast as a way to create compelling content, content that you can repurpose and it can be, and oh, I'm so excited about what this podcast is going to become, because we're going to be going way deeper into that, into how you actually create this amazing anchor content that is really for you and for your audience, like not for any, not for this that's hit the top, you know, be the top podcast because I want to actually get sponsorships. It's like, no, you're just going to create really great content that's valuable for your audience and that you just really love creating because it comes so naturally to you. Right? Like, that's what we want to be focusing on. And then how do we actually then use that to, because you're already providing so much value, it's like this, it's going to be a no-brainer for people to want to actually follow you more, actually buy into your thing. You know, that's really what growth means and looks like for us. So I think it might mean that maybe a rebranding is in order, because I feel really bad about continuing to mislead people.
I mean, look, I love a new year, new haircut. Figuratively, haircut. Okay. not literally, like the podcast is going to get, or maybe a completely new look.
Oh, I like that. Okay, yeah. It's going to be a full-on blowout. Is that
the... Like the hair? yeah.
Not the tires, right? I mean, it could be that too.
I was going to say, everything's on the table at this point.
Okay, so climbing the charts, that's something that we did not do.
Yeah.
We shelved that should. Yeah. We were like, we could climb the charts, but it's going to take a lot of time and effort that, and it's not the thing that we want to be focusing
it's
on.
Not
so
what
we're shelving that should.
That pink elephant is firmly in the cupboard. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's squealing because it's a very...
No, it's
like in a fun way. There's no animal cruelty on this podcast. It's not a real, for those who might be like, just to be clear, it's not a real, it's not real elephants. Gosh, I don't want to be cancelled at this age.
All right.
At my big old age. Okay, let's keep it moving, shall we?
Okay, the third thing, okay, let's change. It's not an elephant anymore. It's a little iguana. But
what? I'm Googling right now. I need the visual. You know I need the visual.
Okay. All right, so there was, and I'm going to point to a particular episode. Which is, well, two episodes. So episode 84, it was with Jay Okunzo, and he was talking about really finding a unique premise for your show.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is amazing, amazing advice and so real. It's so real to the point that we followed it. Okay, we followed it in episode 85 where we spoke through, we did the thing.
Yes.
And I was so proud of us because...
Yeah, that was a great episode.
It was great. Definitely go back and listen to it because it was actually really great. Okay, but what... What we did not do was actually doing it. So we wrote the premise. We did. We were like, okay, this is what Grow My Podcast Show is going to be about. We were like, yes, we were fully on board at the time.
Yep.
And I think even in episode 85, I said to Bonner, I was like, okay, so I'm going to be held to particular promises.
Yes.
Which I pretty much broke, I think, maybe in the next episode.
Next episode was fine. It was really the ones after.
The ones after, okay, yeah. Right. When it was like a long-distance memory for me. Two episodes in and I'm like, I don't even remember what. Yeah, but so what I do remember was I made a promise that we were going to be keeping the content to growing a podcast.
Actually, you're right. You broke it straight away. How to convert leads to dream buyers. Literally the next episode. How to overcome strategic overwhelm.
No.
How to overcome marketing overwhelm. From strategy to action. Mastering YouTube. We're terrible. Wow. This audit is horrible.
This is so bad. Okay. So yeah. There is a need in here. The need is that you need to have a unique premise for your show. So definitely, oh my gosh, follow the advice that Jade laid out and even how we followed it in episode 85. The should was, I think probably just in that time that we were thinking about it, the should was that we should have done it in this way. Mm. And that was the should that we shelved.
Yeah.
Did that make sense?
It did, yeah. And I think this does highlight the point that you were making earlier about, I think we, like you said, the exercise was correct and couldn't agree more with what the framework Jay laid out. I think because we already had this podcast and we'd kind of come a long way, to your point, like coming up to 2 years doing it every week, we tried to, I think, because you said that the when you think about things like climbing the charts and stuff like that, like it really is not something that has been a goal or we necessarily mm-hmm. care about. And we're still trying to fit it to, I think, what the podcast has been or maybe we thought it had to be versus yes. like, hang on a minute. I think because these episodes since have done well and they're great content. It's what you love talking about. Yeah. It's what juices you and, you know, having the right experts there and things like that. But it's like, it's again, like you can't, I think, hold yourself to something that is not authentically you or is not anymore.
Yeah, I think that's maybe an important. It was. Yeah, that's an important distinction.
Exactly, yeah. So I would say with this new made-over show, with the new blowout and everything, the unique premise is really important, but it might just be about realigning to what you're actually passionate about creating come 2024 and beyond.
Oh, so maybe the next episode we can do the exercise again. Maybe we do the unique premise
yes.
for what this podcast is going to become. And it's not a forever
no.
thing that we're going to hold ourselves to because, again,
yep.
things might change.
And they will change.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is an important lesson, I think, for all of us is that it's okay. It's okay if things change, if your interests change, as long as in that moment when you make that decision to that you commit for a good amount of time and that's what you focus on.
Mm.
Because I don't want this to, it's that, because I, you know, I love frameworks and I love to be like, just tell me what to do and I'll just, and this is one of those things where it's like, on the one hand, you need to commit and focus, but on the other hand, you need to be, you need the flexibility to still explore the changing
yes.
you.
Yes.
And it's such a, it feels so different
yes.
and so incongruent.
Yes.
But I don't think it needs to be.
I don't think so. And as you were saying that, I think it just to tie in with the conversation we're having about workflow, I think that's why we all get so tight in our workflows because we very much link it to doing, which it is. It absolutely has to be because otherwise nothing's going to get done. But it feels so concrete. That's why I think now if I revise my answer to your question about how we have flexibility in that, it's the exact same thing as what we apply in the premise of the show or anything that we're doing. It's about having enough space in there to still play mm-hmm. while doing, you know, mm-hmm. and because play and doing go hand in hand when we think about it. When we get too much stuck in just playing, we don't get anything done and we don't feel the progress. And when we get too stuck in doing, we resent it because it's no longer representative of us, or we get so locked into it that we don't have the ability to grow and we're stagnant. Either way, we're not progressing. So they have the same outcome. It's just finding that right balance of being able to play and grow into who you're becoming while still being able to have a healthy level of implementation as is.
Yes. I love this. And this might actually feed into the what this show is going to be come about. So I'd love to hear from you. Would it be helpful for you to hear us talk through, as we're going through this with you, how it is that we're creating that flexibility, the, you know, the openness, but also the systemization around the workflow, like how we're thinking through it and how we're implementing it ourselves, because this is it's going to be never ending and
totally.
It's constantly going to be changing.
Yep.
And so, you know, I feel like that could actually be really valuable for us to be talking quite honestly through how it is that we're doing it
yep.
as well.
And as a minimum keeps us accountable. So we're not recording this episode in a year's time.
I think that we still will be. It's like, remember back in episode 101 when we said that we were going to be doing it. So we did not do that.
We're running out of animals at this point.
Anyway, okay, so unique premise for your show. We did it, but we didn't.
The C-, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, last one that I want to talk about. podcast pitching. So this one was really off when I was looking, when we were looking back at the back catalogue. Episode 32 with Kevin Schmidlin, who is amazing. He's going to be speaking at Capshovians Live. He had an amazing framework around targeted podcast pitching, which as soon as I heard, when I was talking to him about it, and I was like, oh man, we need to do this. Put that on our should list. Let's get this going.
Like, it's on the list. It's on the list. Yeah,
and it was a should that we shall. But so all of that to say that sometimes we shelve shoulds because they are just not right for us, kind of like climbing the charts, just not our goal, just not right for us. Sometimes we shelve shoulds because we shelve it because we've kept trying and then it gets to a point where we're like, okay, it's not working. We need to completely step back in order to then relook at it almost objectively and go, okay, how do we tackle? And that was what happened with video for us. And then there are some shoulds that we shelved, not because there was like, it's just because we just had other priorities, other things that we wanted to focus on. And that's, I think, what happened with podcast pitching, because I think, if go listen to episode 32, it's really about how, you know, you get on the right podcast in the right way. And I want this actually to be a focus now for this year, for 2024. So this is a should that I'm going to, that we shelved, that I'm going to take out of the cupboard. Maybe it was like sitting under the pink elephant.
Again, these are not real animals, so it wasn't crushed or anything.
No. I'm gonna put that in there. What's when we don't shelve a should, we put it.
Is it on the mantle of action?
Yeah, it's on the action mantle. It is now on the action mantle for 2024.
We're dusting it off.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So by the way, if you would, I would be very honored to be on your podcast. If you think that I would be the right guest, obviously you, if you've been listening to this, you know that I talk to entrepreneurs and I love talking to them about content, then definitely get in touch at hi@capshow.com. If you would like for me to guest on your podcast, I would be super honored to do that for anyone listening to this podcast. Just let us know that you heard this episode and you're like, hey, I'd love to have Deidre on the podcast. That would be a great honor to do that.
Cool. Awesome.
Okay. Well, I guess
our action mantle's looking good.
Yeah. We've got one thing on our action mantle. Yes. We started the year off right. Okay. So I guess we end on that call to action. That's our main, our call to action.
Yep.
Get in touch, hi@capshow.com if you would like the egomaniac to be on your podcast.
I mean, that's irresistible to me. I'm going to create a podcast just to get you on.
Because who wouldn't want an egomaniac on there?
A raving egomaniac. Yeah.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you for indulging us on this very therapeutic episode. And we will see you on the next one. In the meantime,
stay awesome.